Okay. Welcome back to another episode of the WOMcast. Yes, we're back again. We're doing an interview today with the man, the myth, the legend named Reaper of Hugs 42. This man is a firefighter / EMT and a freaking passionate and like just stoked streamer. He's awesome. He's really, really cool. I'm super stoked to interview him here. He's also got like one of the best mustaches in the game. You're going to be like amazed by this man's mustache. Like this stash it'll impress you. And that's the reality of it. Okay. It'll absolutely impress you. He's got 4.2K on Twitch, 2.3K on Twitter. And like I said, the mustache is absolutely insane. I'm super excited. We're going to give him a call and get him in here and it'll be a good time. It'll be a really good time. I promise. Okay. Let me give him a call.
Hello.
Hello?
Can you hear me fine?
I can, yeah.
Good.
Good, good. Do you mind turning on camera or no?
Oh, no, that's fine.
Cool. I'll turn on mine as well here. This is my, like, crappy camera. I got, like, my other regular camera over there, but right here. Dude, I had to see the mustache in person. So that's, like, what I'm, like, really excited to see right now. Main reason I brought you on is the mustache. I'll be honest with you.
No, thanks, man.
I'm just joking. Well, dude, it's really good to meet you. I haven't gotten a chance to like talk with you like face to face or voice to voice or anything like that. We're basically I'm live right now. So if you didn't know that,
I just realized why I haven't ever seen you live, and it makes a lot of sense now. I've been wondering about that.
No worries. Yeah. So we're live right now, but we're also going to be putting this on Spotify, you know, iTunes, all that kind of, or not iTunes, Apple Podcasts, all that kind of stuff. It'll be all over there. And then, I guess the goal really when I do these is just to kind of not only like learn some like tips and tricks about streaming and kind of be able have people hear from really like small to medium sized streamers. Sorry, one thing messed up on my freaking thing. This freaking... My browser source.
Your camera's dead, man. It's gone forever.
My browser source for this one thing I have is like the worst thing in the world. It just ruins everything. Okay. But yeah, so our goal is really to learn obviously tips and tricks, that kind of stuff would be really cool to learn about. But really about you and your story and kind of what your philosophy of streaming is, all that kind of stuff. So we'll definitely be talking about you quite a bit. Is that cool?
Oh yeah, of course, man. I'm good to talk with whatever.
Perfect, man. Perfect. So you and I don't know each other that well, so this is going to be actually really good for me, too. So I'm super excited. I want to hear a little bit. I always like to ask about the journey kind of before streaming, and then we'll kind of get into, like, what you do now, like, on stream. But I love to hear about what kind of led you to streaming and what kind of got you to the point where you're like, oh, man, like, I should turn this camera on and hit go live and all that kind of stuff. So what kind of, like, led up to that point for you?
Well, I used to, I was playing PUBG like a lot with my buddies for a while, and I've always played video games like my whole life, but I was playing this ton of PUBG, and I was ranked like the top 0.1% in squads and duos with them. Dang. So we played a lot, and it was on Xbox, so it's not like the best. I just got pretty good at it, and I helped them out a lot, and they were just like, you know, I had my brother and a couple of them asked why I never stream, and I just never looked into Twitch or anything, and I was like, well, I just didn't really feel like putting in all the extra effort. And then they were like, well, you know, if you streamed, I'd watch, because they were at work all the time. And I was like, you know, I'll just got a real cheap camera and just use my headset for like the first couple months. And basically that was a big thing for me. My first goal was to get a mic. I was like, out of everything, first sub goal, big goal, I was like, getting a microphone.
Yeah.
But yeah, just kind of started to do it and just kept playing PUBG with them. And then actually when I started streaming, just right pre-streaming, I lost like a lot of motivation to game, and when I started doing it again, I dove into like a bunch of different games like Dead Cells and stuff, and I kind of like found the motivation again.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how streaming will do that, because you're like, I don't want to play this one game over and over and over again. So you're like, sometimes you'll branch out, or some people just stay on the same game and just go deeper into that game. But it's interesting how it'll push you into other areas. So alongside streaming, you're also a firefighter / EMT is what I see. And like, you're about me and all that kind of stuff. But is that's probably a huge part of your life then? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what I do. That's why I do a weekly stream schedule. I can't because I'll work like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then we'll get 4 days in a row off. And then I'll work like Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and 4 days in a row, and so on from there.
Yeah.
But 24 hours a day at a fire station, it's just always, it's weird. It's, you just live there 1/3 of your life.
Yeah. So did you're already doing that when you started streaming then? Yeah.
I think I pretty much started them both about the same time. That was within like a couple months of me having my job.
Oh, wow. So how long ago is that?
I started streaming October 2018. And I got my job at the fire department April 2018.
Dang,
so it was like,
dude.
Yeah, it was pretty back to back on that one.
Was a firefighter like always like a dream job that you had or?
No.
No?
And actually, no, it wasn't at all. I basically wrestled like my whole life. And then I went to college and I actually went to D3 college because I decided I just was kind of burnt out on wrestling and I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. So I went to this pretty nice college and I did a strength conditioning undergraduate for 2 years. I got a major in sociology and a minor in Spanish. And then after that, I thought about going into like FBI or something, but there was like a whole political side of that that I didn't know about. So then I actually talked to a few old wrestling coaches and I was like, well, I don't really want to do police work. And they were saying about, why don't you check out firefighting? I remember a couple of them did it and I did some ride alongs and just fell in love with it. I was like, I don't know why, it just never crossed my mind. And then I was like, wait a second, this sounds like a great time.
That's like, it's kind of something, it seems like you fell into it. And it seems like you did that a little bit with streaming as well. But was there any like entertainment background or any like anything where you're like, I don't know, you were just kind of like the life of the party when you were hanging out with friends? Or what was like, is there anything on that side of things that pushed you towards being an entertainer, being a streamer and that kind of stuff?
Oh no, I'm actually really introverted. Like I've got a very small group of friends and like, if I have the chance to nap or play games, I'm probably going to do that. But I usually, like I did a lot of fishing with my buddies in the summertime and some golfing and stuff. And there's, like I said, there's just like a handful of them I'd always hang out with. And if I'm like good friends with somebody, I can talk their ear off. But if I'm in a group, I'm usually just really quiet and observant. And I'll just not really say very much until I get comfortable with the people around. Like fire department now, I just never shut up. But when I started there, it was like dead silence. So now they'll give me crap at the fire. I've always like just talked to the game and talked to myself. I think that's what kind of helps me with streaming. Cause a lot of new people just don't know what to say. And I'm like, just do what you usually do, you know? And if you talk to the game or like you ever talk smack, just do that. Cause that's what people will be stopping in for again.
Absolutely. So cause I feel like a lot of people assume streamers are extroverted, right? Like a lot of times, like they're a lot of times really outgoing. When I watch your stream, you're not, what people think an introvert is, right? A lot of people think an introvert is just like someone who's quiet and won't talk at all. But a lot of times that's just how you recharge, is you kind of like get some alone time and kind of recharge. But a lot of people, they envision that you have to be this crazy outgoing person in order to really be like entertaining in this field or entertaining in any field in general. Have you noticed some things with your personality in terms of as an introvert that have helped you with streaming and some things that maybe you're like, oh, this is a little bit harder for me. Or do you get more drained after a stream or things like that?
I don't really think the introverted side has helped me at all.
Okay.
Like I get, especially after my streams, I'm always usually tired.
Yeah.
Like just right afterwards, just cause like putting out energy for me is, it's a lot of like talking and stuff like this it is a surprising amount of effort. So usually I'll just go and I'll like kind of try to network on social media afterwards or stop by some other streams after I raid and talk to people.
Yeah.
But realistically, like I'm just tired after I stream almost every time.
Yeah, that's
so introverted wise, it's pretty weird.
My brother's pretty similar to that. He's not like a streamer or anything, but when he has those like social interactions, like he's really good in social interactions, not like awkward or anything like that. But after he's like, I'm pretty much like I want to decompress and just chill and hang out, dude. Or like I'm sure you play like video games like after or something like that. And you're like, I just want to play alone.
Weird. I get crap at the fire department because if we have some downtime at night, sometimes we'll play like Mario Kart.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, I don't really game outside of streaming because I don't want to burn myself out of gaming. And that's about the fastest way to do it. Is like if you're having a little slump in streaming or like you're having a little bit of a bad time.
Yeah.
And now you're just gaming all the time, then you feel like forced to play that game for them, especially if that's your main game that you think people come for. And it just, to me, puts a lot of pressure on you all the time.
Absolutely. So talking about stream, what was like some of your strategies when you started your stream? What did you expect streaming to be when you started out? Like when you like were hitting that first go time you're hitting go live, were you just kind of, oh, I'll just put it on while I'm gaming and whatever? Or did you have kind of like a plan and all that kind of stuff?
I had a small plan just because I knew the requirements to get affiliate.
Okay.
So I like talked to a couple, and that's, to me, if you're going for affiliate, easiest way, just talk to a few friends and just be like, hey, can you guys just pull up my stream for like a couple hours? And literally, if you really want to get affiliate, just time it around them. Because getting affiliate helps out so much, because then you get the extra, like the additional sub badges and stuff.
Yeah.
And while they might not come by all the time after that, at least you've got more tools to help people want to come back. And so when I started, I just figured I'd do that. And I gamed with a couple of my buddies, and I was like, hey, when I'm streaming, can you just stop by? And they pretty much did that for a while. And I was in, that's what, I was probably around like 5 views for a little bit. And I kind of jumped pretty fast because I started talking to people and jumped in Discords and made an Instagram and stuff within like the first month of streaming. I think that's the biggest thing to initially help me out.
Yeah. Dang. Okay. I think a lot of people, they don't focus on the other social medias. I've noticed that Twitter's pretty big for you, right?
Actually, yeah, I'd say Instagram's my biggest.
Okay.
But Twitter, actually, I didn't make a Twitter for like probably about a year of streaming, almost like 7-8 months. Cause I'm not a big Twitter. Twitter's real to me. Every time I see it, it's negative. Yeah. Everyone's like trashing stuff. They're all angry. And I was like,
hashtag canceled.
Like,
and
And I was like, I don't want to deal with this. So then I actually thought about it, and I just like seeing people happy. Like, I want people to have fun streaming and like feel, cause we're all just trying to have fun with a few people. And, so I was like, you know, I'll just get on there. I'll just post positive stuff and pretty much try to spread positivity around, which, I mean, works sometimes, but, you know, I don't ever expect to. That's a bit. I never expect to blow up off Twitter. I'm never like, I literally will slide in. I've slid in DMs before I made a comment because I'm never chasing clout.
Yeah.
And especially if somebody's like not feeling good, I'm not going to hop in there and be like, tell me why you don't feel good, man. I feel good because of this. I'm like, I'm just going to go actually talk to the person, like,
yeah,
on a real level.
Yeah. It's, I've had kind of a similar like look on Twitter. It's really difficult to, it's a weird, really weird social media, but once you're in it, it's like, oh, it can be really good and really like fruitful for your stream. But Instagram has been my main focus as well. So I don't know. Cause just so free. I just don't get it or something. I don't know.
It's easy. Instagram, I loved Instagram. You like, I would just post one thing a day. Just be like, here's my setup. Here's the pics. Like, it's simple. And if people choose to click, it's cool if they don't. But Twitter, you like got to think about it, and then you tweet it, and you're like, oh, this is a good tweet, and then like no interaction, you're like, well shit,
yeah,
I'm terrible, well, let me rethink this.
Yeah.
And then you see somebody like post, and I think the best example was I was hanging out with my girlfriend Gina, and she's like, oh, why don't you like post something meaningful? And I was like, I'm gonna post the word yeet, and it's gonna get more likes than half my tweets. And I did, and it got like 100 likes and a bunch of retweets, and I was like, this is what I'm talking about. Doesn't make any sense.
That's kind of like TikTok for people too. Like, they'll post the dumbest thing. Like, someone will work like so long on something, and then they'll post the dumbest thing, and it's like goes viral. You're like, sick, dude. Great.
Yeah. Sweet. Nice. Good for you.
So, was there a moment that you started realizing maybe there was a little bit more growth doing, maybe it was like a particular thing you did, or maybe just right off the bat, you just saw some pretty good growth. Or what was that like journey like for you?
I was always pretty consistent and steady with like where I wanted the growth. And I think an important thing I did was I started, because it's all semi-casual, because I never expect this to pay the bills. Like,
yeah,
I've spent basically all my money on my setup and additional money. But like, the growth was probably like about 5 average viewers every 2 weeks I was going up.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was starting the Discord community, just making those connections. And I will say, in my opinion, Twitch is like 100 times harder now than when I started, because they've cracked down on so many little things like the views, like who counts as views. If you're hosting this person, then that person doesn't count as a view. If you raid the person, the raid doesn't technically count as a view unless you pull it up. Because it's like, if you raided a channel, you're a referrer raid and you don't count as a view as well. So that's a weird one. And
I didn't know that, actually. That's crazy.
Yeah, if you like watch, so whenever you raid, or if you raid after this, go look in the URL. It will say refer raid in the very top.
Interesting.
That's something they don't tell you, and you will not actually count as a view. Or anybody that joins you won't technically count as a view.
Yeah.
Plus, there's a bunch of other stuff with like partner and things that I learned. But anyway, so this is all, and that to me is weird that they're like getting that picky about, somebody has to particularly count as view this way. Like, I love to hop between streams because somebody's in a game.
Yeah.
And like, they're really distracted. And then, you know, I might hop and talk to somebody that can actually chat.
Yeah.
Because I think starting streaming, a lot of people expect to have like people are going to drop in because I'm a pro esports player.
Yeah.
And realistically, there's about 8,000 of those. People come to the channel for you. And I really right away, I guess, marketed myself off that because I'm decent at games, but I just love chatting with people like in the chat. And if you're going to take time to stop by to me, I'm going to talk to you no matter what you say in chat. So I played like, what was it? I played a little Call of Duty Blackout, I think it was, and was a Castlevania Symphony of the Night and just some odd games. And those were the games, the really off ones where I'd get like maybe one or two people, but they'd actually be really into the game, like invested and like, hey, have you done this in there? I was like, I don't know, man. I'm just
going.
Yeah. So it was just steady goals. And no, sorry, but it's steady goals and steady growth. And yeah, it was weird. I got lucky, like I said, with the community and everything, because everybody was having fun. To me, the community was definitely having a lot of fun growing together. And it was way easier to watch each other succeed in a group.
Mm. Is there anything that you felt like everyone should do in the beginning, or is it pretty much based on the streamer? You know, is there any, like, cause a lot of people try to give advice, like through, you've probably seen like a lot of the YouTube videos or things like that, that is pretty much cookie cutter. Like you could probably click on multiple different like tutorials and it's like, be yourself, you know, like, or it's like this or that, you know, and it's like things that people should do. But they're not really going to like change someone's life, you know, like they're not going to change someone's life when streaming. Is there anything that you actually think like everyone needs to do this when they first start out? Is there anything that you would say for that?
Yeah. I mean, that's, what's kind of tough is like you said, there's, and I made like a video over networking on YouTube. Because I'd say networking is probably the biggest thing. A lot of people bash it, but at the same time, to me, networking has like a really broad area because it's a great way to learn from different streamers, check out like what kind of content's working in this game and what content's working in, because not all the same stuff works in the same games. Like playing Escape from Tarkov, people can give bits and they drop mags, and like you give bits, you chuck your things, like weird things like that you don't know of unless you just check out some different channels. And I will say, like, the be yourself thing is kind of confusing, but to me, it makes sense because, like, when I started streaming, I'd like jokingly be like, oh, here, give me some bits. And somebody gave me bits. I was like, oh, dab, like, very sarcastically. Like, I don't dab. I never dabbed or eat it in real life. Like, here's some more bitties, do another dab. And then more people stopped in and caught on. So then that, like, became a niche on the channel, was everybody's like, dab for the bits and like, instead, just like goofy stuff you never think of, where just kind of sometimes will pick up traction. And just, I would guess, be aware when that stuff happens. But to me, the main thing, again, is just networking and invest in your channel and your content.
And that's some of those special moments, like, that I've realized in a lot of channels is, like, you would do something, like, just, you would, not necessarily that you would dab, but you would do something crazy like that, you know, normally. Like, that just kind of came out, you know, and it just happened. And I think a lot of people have some of their best moments with streaming when that happens, because they're being themselves in that moment. I think where I think the being yourself kind of thing gets a little cheesy is like people are like, the best way to grow, number one, just be yourself. And it's like, all right, check. Anything else? Anything else? Like, you know, like I think it's funny because some of those videos, they'll stay in the like the more like philosophical area versus being more practical. And I think that's really where like I started to think about that. But you're right. I mean, I think being yourself in the sense of if you're that person who's like entertaining in that way, that's awesome. If you're a person who's entertaining in a different way, you can't really hide on a live stream. Like you can't hide your feelings. You can't hide your reactions to things. You can't hide a lot of things because it's not edited. Like there's not like, it's not like a YouTube video. Where you can, oh shoot, I was like frustrated about what I said there. I can edit that out or whatever it is. But with a live stream, you're going for however long you stream, you know, you're going for that long and they can see when you get tired throughout the stream, or they can see when you get like,
oh yeah,
you know, you're pumped up or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And you can kind of tell when people are kind of trying to force something that's just not them. And that to me is like, it's a little awkward because I don't want to be like, just be yourself. And I'm like sitting there, I'm like, well, this just seems kind of strange. And
it hurts. Like, like you can feel that they're not like, it's just not who they are. And you're like, it's kind of cringy in a way. I think that's really the only way to explain it.
I don't want
to
discourage them because I'm like, at least you're trying, but you know,
Or a lot of people try to emulate what they see too. You know, they'll try to like, oh, I see so and so doing this, so I should do this. And sometimes that works, but with a lot of times with YouTube, that kind of stuff will work. But with like streaming is just so, it's just there, it's not any edits, so it's just, you can't edit anything awkward out, so it's just there.
And that's what I think is important, is like, if you're on an image, just make it like your own, get your own twist, like, you know,
yeah,
don't just make it like your thing, but you can kind of semi put it in the channel with like a little something on it.
Absolutely.
It's not forced. And on that, actually on that topic, like the weird thing to me about streaming and the YouTube stuff. So a lot of people hop on YouTube. Like I hopped on YouTube all the time. A lot of people, nobody just hops on Twitch typically, unless they were already on Twitch or know about it.
Yeah.
So that's why I think networking is important, because like, how is anybody going to find your stream if you're just posting on Twitch? Because a lot of the people that are here are already watching the people they want to watch.
Yeah. What is networking like? If you were to define networking for somebody, what would you like define that as?
Oh, just, and that's what I think, like the Twitter and the Instagram and different accounts kind of matters, because that to me would be like, center your content around streaming and things like that. Because even if you find like one new person on Instagram a week, or like one person, a couple people on Twitter, then there are people you wouldn't have met before. Even if they just like your content that day, maybe they'll like it a couple weeks from now, and you just continuously put out the content that they'll be into. And I've never been, I used to just slide in DMs all the time. I definitely do it a lot less anymore, but I was be like, hey, how's it going? I'd love to get to know you, and just talk to different streamers.
Yeah.
Because realistically, like to me, being a smaller streamer or even mid-size, like our target audience is streamers. Like right now we're talking about streaming.
Yeah.
And things with streaming. So a lot of the audience for us is going to be fellow streamers, because anybody that stops into Twitch and is new is going to go to that 7,000 view channel. They're going to go to the 10,000 view channel. They're going to go watch the biggest streamers. They are not looking, they're not like hunting through trying to find the mid-level one.
Yeah.
Unless you're another streamer, like trying to pick up some new content, trying to like get to know somebody else, see what they're about, things like that. So I mean, really, it's just getting to actually know the people in the community. And even if it's just a little bit, if I learn a little bit about you today, then you stop by weeks later and I can remember that, and we talk about something else, then it keeps adding up.
Well, yeah, I think it's having those legitimate, you know, interactions with people, even through a chat, right? It's you got to be able to really like care for people, because you can't hide. If you don't care, it's going to come out and people are going to feel that. If you actually care for the people who are like stopping by and you're able to do that, I think it's really important, because it can't happen just in your stream, right? Like it can't just be one time like, oh, hey, like I care about you, and also you forget about them the next stream. Is there anything in place that you like that you've done with your stream differently maybe to like make people like feel that, you know, like, cause you can care and nobody can feel it, but you've kind of got to find ways for them to feel that. Like maybe you do it through mods, or maybe you do it through messaging people off stream and saying, hey, thanks for coming by. Like, is there any way that you've kind of done that?
It was harder. The bigger you get, the harder like everything gets really. And when I was first starting off, I would definitely like anytime I got a raid or sub or anything, I'd post it on social media and I'd make sure that they knew that like I was extra. I'm still as thankful for it, but when I was getting like 50, I'm not going to like put a tweet out with tagging 50, 60 people every time. And it would just be kind of like awkward, but I would just like let them know and then thank them. And then like maybe talk to them later. And I'd stop by a lot of streams. Like people stop by my channel, I'll typically stop by theirs a lot more often, just see how they're doing and actually check on them that way.
Yeah.
Because make sure they're having fun with streaming and everything. Cause like I said, big thing is I've watched people get really discouraged or depressed with streaming, and it's just tough to watch. And I'm like, it's so hard because there's nothing I can do. And like, I feel the same struggles. And it's just like letting people know that there's a lot of us in the same situation. Like no matter really to me how big your success gets, none of us are going to be like full. We're always going to be hungry for more.
Yeah.
So
what are some of those things
going on through?
Yeah. What are some of those things that what are the hard things for you? Like what are some of the things that you focus on?
The number one hard thing for me like lately is a lot of people to me like upgrading the stream setup should eventually lead to more views, like a larger channel audience, things like that. I've upgraded the setup and realistically I've actually lost a lot of views compared to last year. So that's kind of like a weird thing for me is, you know, you think you get the graphics of a couple things like that that matter. Yeah. Like I got a better mic, but and I kind of knew like starting off, people come for you. So you could have not the best equipment and succeed.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just been like kind of the hardest thing on that too, is keeping the community motivated, because like I said, after TwitchCon, like everybody's views tanked. Pretty much like half the partners' channels I watched even went from like the 50s to 20s, and I'm watching people get back up there in the views. But at the same time, it's like some people will be getting better views now and like zero chat interaction, things like that. And there's so many like little things all over the place. It just makes me feel kind of bad because I kind of eventually consider myself a bit of like a figurehead around the community. And if I'm not able to help people out or make them feel better, then it just kind of feels bad on me. And one of the other tough pills to swallow was like the understanding that I can't do everything for everyone. Because I've had some people I really like that came to me and were like, well, I didn't feel very welcome in your stream like this day. And I was like, well, I'm sorry. But and it's because of like some small thing that happened in the chat. And I'm like, I can't control absolutely everything. Yeah, I can apologize. But I'm like, I feel really bad because I'm a people pleaser. So it makes me feel terrible personally. But I'm like, it is what it is. Like, you can just go on to the next day.
Do you feel like your passion for your like for firefighting is about this equal to streaming, or you feel like one is bigger, higher than the other, or you think streaming is kind of what you want to do? Like if you could do streaming only, would you do that? Or
no, I'd still, it'd be firefighting by far. Like the streaming to me, and like the big thing for me, I've always wanted to grow bigger to help basically help other people get on their feet at least, or help give them advice, you know, help them grow just a little bit. And cause that's the big thing, even getting affiliated makes a big difference. And if you don't know, like, certain microphone things or how to set up a camera properly, and I stop at your stream and I can help with that, then that's nice. But it'd be nice to help pay the bills.
Yeah,
but
at
the
same time,
this is the one certain stream I never expected it. So that's why, like, I don't put too much weight on that. I just try to have fun and always play games I enjoy with everybody.
Yeah, and the only reason I asked that, I think for me, when I've been able to stop by your stream twice, and even in that short time, I was able to see, like, you can tell when somebody's really passionate about streaming and when somebody's just kind of like, I just do it. You know, it's just a thing that I do. And for me, like, you're how you are and how you interact with people, but also how you, like, just entertain, you're passionate about it. And I think when you're passionate about something and you really care about something you're building, it's very natural to have those, like, moments when numbers are kind of like hitting you in the face. Cause I've been there like 100%. And spoiler alert, most of these interviews that I've done, it comes to this because everybody, this is like the forefront of their minds, right? Like it's like, and if they did said it wasn't, it they're probably lying about it, you know, like, cause the views are right there in your face. Not only that, then people like come into chat and they're like, where is everybody? And you're like, I don't know. You know, like,
dude, that is the funniest thing to me. I'm like, that's a good question, man. If I could answer that, I wouldn't be here right now.
You're like, and it feels great for you to ask that. Thanks.
I do. Actually, I love when people ask that. Cause to me, it makes me laugh. Cause like, I'm like, well, I can already clearly see this. And now, nobody else is here to read this in the first place, man. So I was like,
yeah,
it's just me and you talking at this point, buddy. You can catch trolls slip and just be like, how's your day? Let's talk about you now. And then they just get awkward and they're like, well, I don't know. I just chat slow. And I was like, all right, well, what are you doing?
and you're here? No. So what do you think are some of the ways to combat, I guess? Cause I've seen the same thing, man. And I've had moments where I get pretty discouraged, in terms of numbers. Like I care a lot about this thing and I really love streaming. I love being able to build a community, all that kind of stuff. And when the numbers are low, it's very hard not to take that personally, you know, and to really separate your stream from who you are is very difficult. What are some ways that you kind of combat that? Is there kind of things in your mind where you have a certain mindset, or I think there's been, you know, just there's a lot of ways people deal with that. And I'm just wondering what yours is.
Yeah, what I usually recommend almost anybody is just play games. That's what I say, play games you enjoy, because when the numbers get tough and nobody's talking, you're just sitting there by yourself. If you're playing something that you're not having fun with, it A, shows, and then B, makes you have a really bad time, because you know you're putting out bad content. You're not enjoying the game at the moment. You know nobody's talking. Maybe it's because of that energy you're putting out, things like that.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, the big thing about community, like, if a lot of like the big guys, like Vine Sauce is on right now, and this dude plays anything and almost has 7,000 views always because his community is there for like him. And unless you're like a pro esports player, realistically, people are not there for the game. Yeah. If they're going to the game, they're going to like Dr. Disrespect, Shroud, Summit 1G.
Yeah.
So that's why it's important to develop. And you'll get like a couple followers here and there. Because like the biggest hit, for me was I went from like 100 average for 4 months straight. And we dropped down. We're probably like, we're hitting about 25, 30s tops now.
Oh, wow.
And it's it's just been a thing and like something I got to accept and it's part of it. But of course, it's always in the forefront of your mind because the more views you get, the higher you get on the channel, the better the chance for you to be seen by others.
Yeah.
And that's a weird thing. Cause like I said, I'm a big person on, I just like to gain information. So I stop by a lot of streams and check out how the chat is, check out how the interaction is, things like that. And man, I've passed by people with 100 views. And the chat is dead. Like nobody's talking the whole time. And I don't mean to be critical on the content, but it's just like, it's a regular everyday stream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like nothing special going on. Then I'll go by somebody with 5 views and they are off the walls. They got like all the setup going. They got everything's clean. It's all looking good. And I'm like, you know, there's no way to tell what's going on because I'm like, there's not, you can see the difference in stream quality. And the person with less views obviously has the better overall technical stream quality, but is getting far less views. And it's just, it's a weird thing.
So do you think views is a good way to determine success?
Oh, no, absolutely not. It's terrible. And that's what I've watched streams where there's 20 people chatting, 20 views, and this person's getting subs or getting bits. They've actually got people talking. They've got that interaction. The interaction is about the hardest thing to get streaming because you cannot force interaction. Like you can't force somebody to chat ever. They can watch it. They don't have to talk. And I'll see, like I said, somebody with 100, 115 views, nothing happens the whole time. Like no follows, no bits, no subs, nothing like that. And in their little,
do you get a little skeptical when that happens or no?
Well, depends on the person. Because that's what's funny. You can either go to Twitch metrics or you see, I can literally look through this list of people. It takes me 5 minutes to read through the list.
Yeah.
And I know most people in different communities, like just around, because when you hop enough communities, you just hear names and you see names.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've seen people get partnered that were clearly in that range. If they went from 8 views the next day, they're at 108.
Yeah, you're and like, come on.
That's what they got partnered, and then it was back down to like 15.
Yeah.
And that was and that's what's hard. I've watched partners quit after that because the views don't go up. They stay around 15 for a while and they get depressed.
Yeah.
And I think a big problem that Twitch had, I don't think they tackled the right way, was they had specifically lurker communities, and they had like, I know the Royale community was a really big one.
Yeah.
And because I got invited to that like 8 times.
Can you define that a little bit? Because a lot of people know what that is.
Like, yeah. Lurker communities. I joined one when I very first started streaming because I didn't really know exactly what it was. And frankly, when we first start, you're like, oh, more views, the better. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, you hop on. It's basically like a website you went to. You hop on and it's like you're watching 4 channels. And then if you watch 4 channels for an hour, then they'll like watch. Basically, you'll get a couple views out of it. And the thing with that is the lurk community benefits 99% one person because they're the one that set it up. So where you're giving 4 views, you're always watching the main person. So
okay,
it's kind of
built up almost like, would you say thing. A pyramid? Yeah. Maybe like a scheme of some sort.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, whatever. It's a guy. He was really nice. And I was like, you know, I'll check it out. It's not a big deal. And I was in it for like 3 weeks, and I told him, I was like, hey, I don't really want to be a part of this, and I left, and he actually got pretty upset at me and like unfollowed me and all that, and I was like, all right, well, that's fine, it happens. And the Royale one, I knew, and that's when I started learning better, was when I was going for partner and I didn't want any like lurk system or point system or things like that. Like the Reaps and Peeps community, I'm like, we built around, we would emphasize stopping by each other's streams and connecting and making those connections, but at the same time, like, you never had to. Nobody was going to yell at you for not doing it. And that was just something people understood after a while, was that you can give out support, but you can never expect it. So the Royale community was like, hey, if you stop by this many people's streams for this many hours, you get like, I think, and I don't know exactly on the points, but it'd be like 100 points. And because you have 100 points, you're ranked like here in the process. So then you'll get this many views.
Yeah.
And that's what I never, and I saw, and that's what another person I saw get partnered used the Royale system.
Okay.
And after that all got broken down, and after they got partnered, and I don't know if they switch or what, but they went back to like the 7-8 views.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's crazy, man. That is like, it's like a conspiracy, dude. That's like almost like, that's insane
to me, because Twitch is over here like emphasizing, hey, we're actually looking into your content. We're checking it out. And I'm like, but are you though?
Yeah.
Like when you apply for partner, these channels, it's really easy to see what's going on. It's people like your chat right now would be flying, and it would just be like GG Pog, GG Pog, great job. And we would just be sitting here doing this, and that's what's going on in the chat.
Wait, for real?
Yeah. And that's, it was weird. And it was, I assume there's variations, but I saw it happening on a couple streams because I was like, dude, whoa, good for them. They're blowing up. I was like, man, that's like, and I'd pop in and I'd see that.
Like,
and I
was the like, chat makes no sense. Yeah.
Like, no, yeah. And it'd stay like that for a while and they'd apply, and a couple of them got it. And that's why I was like, dude, what is going on? And it was, and that to me was like the weirdest thing. And especially with like applying for partner, because when, like I said, and then people are like, well, maybe it's your, so we were at like 600 subs when I applied.
Yeah.
And we applied 4 months straight, didn't get it. And I think high point, we were at like 110 average for a month.
What?
And we had like really active, crazy chat.
Yeah.
That's when it was like, you go back, look at the messages. It was like 4 to 5 hour streams, active chat. Everybody was actually there. We didn't use any point system, none of that stuff, and still didn't get it. So at that point, I was just like, you know, if partner happens, then I gotta have, I was like, whatever. And then after TwitchCon hit, I knew the numbers would drop, because some people did. I'll stop by some streams. I'll just leave some tabs up and I'll stop in. And like I said, I'll literally pull up 5-6 streams, stop in and chat when I can.
Yeah.
And I'll just stop to the next one and talk to them. And a lot of people still do that. And if you don't have like the volume on, or if somebody's like watching from work and they got the volume off.
Yeah.
Because volume's off, I don't think it counts.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It's just weird. Like YouTube, Facebook, nobody does that. But Twitch is like, wait a second. We gave you ads. So we can get $3.09 per, was it like a couple thousand views?
Yeah, it's crazy.
For an ad. And I was like,
sick.
What is it, what is this doing for anybody?
Dude, it's really interesting to see the lengths that people will go to feel successful in terms of like with, you know, views or trying to just hit partner, right? Just trying to hit partner in general, right? A lot of times people will like try to like get, you know, as many, like just start these lurker communities or start these things, but I say the same thing for people with affiliate is like, yeah, you'll hit affiliate, but will you have anybody like there, you know, like, will you have like someone to start with, or even like one person there, you know, like, and yeah. I think the hard thing is when you make that views area or like make things your goals that are not even like controllable, like you can't control how many people stop by your stream or how many people sub or how many people this, you can do things that kind of promote that. But you can't control someone doing that, you know? The things you can control is going live going live consistently or creating content that you're proud of or excited for. And I think that's kind of the area that through these interviews I've started to see people try to land on in order to really keep sane with this whole numbers thing. And if you ride the roller coaster up, then you're going to ride the roller coaster down emotionally.
Oh,
and
Twitch is always, that's what I've learned. I'm like, and I was telling Gina when we were at like, she's like, oh no, you're doing great. You're not going, we're going to drop.
You're like, wait for it.
I told her, I was like, the question is how far we're going down. Cause we went down and then we went up, and it's always the same thing. I mean, you can't control it to an extent. You can always, like you said, just stay consistent, keep putting out new, being flexible, the new content, things like that helps a ton.
Absolutely.
But I mean, I do understand the mindset of people who do that, because, and that's what's hard for like Twitch. Realistically, you get the more views on Twitch, you get more follows. Now you're putting the algorithm to be like higher up on the recommended channels. It basically now forces your content in other people's face. The problem with that, again, is if you're not putting out content that people want to see, then it's still going to be going towards nothing. And that's why.
Someone else's space who should be there.
Yeah. Which and is it's bummer. Just, you know, it is. That's what it is. What it is with stuff. It's just. And like I said, the links, because it did kind of, to me, made me sad when I talked to these people for a couple months and I was watching them like grow, good growth.
Yeah.
And be stagnant. And they're like, hey, man, I met this community, or hey, I've done this. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, good luck. And they're like, dude, I was hammering the hundreds the other day. I was like, dude, that is great. And then I'd stop in and it was just like dead chat. And I was like, getting a little weird in here, but All right, man. I'll just try to stay positive for you.
Well, and it teaches people a little something about looking like left and right, right? Like looking at, what they're doing this, Or you see your friend, all of a sudden they're at 100 views or this and that. You got to be able to be excited for people and just kind of be like, okay, that's great for them, and stay focused on what you're doing, because you never know what's going on behind the scenes, for one. It's kind of like with Instagram, where people see like the best version of, you know, other people, or social media in general. You see the best version of other people and you're like, oh, I wish my life was like that. And you don't the back end, you know, you don't see the, no one posts the crappy day.
Perfect. All everything's happy. Especially. So when I was going for partner, I made sure to post whenever like I had a bad day or like something was like going a little south. I actually made sure to post about it, because I think people need that realization.
Absolutely.
It happens to everybody, and not to get like lost in the sauce and just be like, oh man, you know, you get success just from this. And I'm like, no, man, it's like the world, like the roller coaster. Everything goes down. Guaranteed. Yeah. If you have a peak, that peak will drop. You got to mentally at least ready yourself for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the hardest thing, I think, for streamers, and something that I've realized in myself as well. Like, it can be very dangerous, like mentally and within your mental health. It can be very dangerous because of the roller coasters and all those kinds of things. And I think the controllables, if anything, is what it sounds like you focus on, like when those kind of times happen, you're focusing on like, okay, what can I do, and what kind of games can I do, or how can I change my content and make it fresh, or things like that. And I think those are the things people need to focus on versus on like refreshing their channel analytics or something.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's what's tough too about content, is like, really, you're going to get most of your growth like overnight or like talk. That's where I've got a large portion of mine. Like, you make the clips, you make the highlights, things like that. At the same time, it's really tough because, man, like, there's 8,000 Fortnite montages out there.
Yeah.
There's all this Call of Duty Warzone gameplay now, things like that. So it's just so easy to get diluted in there and just get lost in that, that it's like, and I talked to a buddy of mine, and we still talk all the time. His daughter actually streams and got partnered because she posted a Fortnite dance and went viral doing a Fortnite dance on Twitter.
Dang.
Now she pulls like, 100 views regularly. And I was like, dude, that's the stuff you just never know.
Yeah.
And that's what, if she didn't use Twitter, she would never have had that happen.
Absolutely. Is there anything that you kind of see yourself doing like differently than a lot of streamers? Maybe like, you know, everyone's swimming downstream, you're swimming upstream kind of a thing. Like, is there anything that you kind of, you try to do differently, or you people say you do differently, that kind of stuff?
I would only say I probably have a little more chat interaction than most people. Just because I'm like, if I see chat and you're willing to talk to me, I'm pretty much on it. Like 24/7, I'll try to be. And I actually feel bad. Like, if I ever miss somebody or I miss somebody like talking, and it makes me feel kind of bad. But I mean, realistically, that's what's weird is, I have to think about something. I'm like, would I watch myself? And I'm like, I don't know, man, because you gotta self-reflect on your own content. And I really don't know why people drop by half the time.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where, you know, I'm just a little baffled on that still.
Yeah. Well, and I think it
amazes me any stream. If I get 20, I'm like, damn, that's 20 average people stop by. Why?
Yeah. I think that's a good attitude to have versus the other, you know, like they should be.
I'm the greatest. Why wouldn't you stop by? And you know, it's good to be a little proud, but I'm like, realistically, like, there's so many, especially right now, there's so many podcasts going on. There's so many just chatting streams. There's so many everything at once. And especially, man, if you're stuck in like the 5 to 50 range, you are pretty screwed for finding new people.
Yeah.
Because that range is just so diluted. And I noticed there's like weird jumps. You'll hit the 75 to 100. There's definitely a lot less. And then it hits the thousands and you are in a plane of your own once you get up to the thousands. But man, the 5 to 50 range is just weird, because you'll scroll down all the way to the hundreds pretty fast. And as soon as you start going past that, it is just like page after page after page after page.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and that's why people view bot, or that's why people, you know, do these lurking things, because they want to be more discoverable. And is that something that you see Twitch fixing in terms of their platform?
No, just no. They'll, dude, had a whole like follow fiasco where everybody's getting follow botted for like,
bro, it was bad.
And that's what I love seeing this stuff. And Twitch is just like, sorry about it. Like, people are legitimately complaining. It's like, well, What do you want us to do? And I'm like, I don't know, fix it. Because right after TwitchCon, after they incorporated ads to help affiliates with revenue, which to me is just a backward. I think that's a lie in and of it. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Like, if you're an affiliate and you're making 10 average views a stream, and you need 1,000 views to get $3.90, you're not helping.
Yeah.
And now you're giving people ads, which is going to deter them. But there's so many like little things that just add up on top of each other that it's weird.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I always ask like what people do differently, because man, when you focus on that number, or like just if that number is your win, you know? I've seen people who have that mentality and communicate that mentality to their chat and that kind of stuff, who were here like 3 months ago and now are not here. like not streaming. Yeah. All of a sudden they had that tweet that went out where it's like, I'm no longer streaming.
I'm taking a prolonged break.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. I'm like,
good,
it got you.
One.
It no, got you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause and we've all been, I think, I don't know if you've ever been close to that where you're like, frick man, like I'm like pretty down, you know, like I'm like really like, and it's affecting you pretty hard. Like for me, I've been there before, but I think, yeah, I just think it's a topic I could talk about till I'm blue in the face, you know, but
from 100 average to 30, really, it hits home.
Yeah.
Cause if you get in that, to me, I think that's a big thing, is if you lose those views, first thought is, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
Like what happened? What's the difference?
It's natural. Yeah.
And, the important thing with that is just to be able to realize tomorrow's a new day to put out, like, you never know when you're going to go viral with that stuff.
Yeah.
But in reality, the only time the views matter and it's hard mentality to get, if you're close to partner or like really close, that is the only time the views are going to matter. Like they always do. But at the same time, like I said, I've seen people be more successful with 15 viewers than 75. But if you're getting close to the number and people want to help you and they like see the content get partner, and that's why I actually, the main reason I felt bad around that time was I had people gifting subs left and right. People really believed in me and the content to get partner. And then I didn't get it. And to me, that felt like I just let the whole community down. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of them have stopped streaming because to me, I think they saw like somebody growing my speed, like doing well chat, growing in the community, getting all those follows, not get it. Then they were kind of eventually like, well, I'm pretty slow and I'm not growing. So what's the point for me if this person can't do it?
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I wish Twitch had like a different.
It would be interesting for Twitch to introduce something that's more based on like what that streamer is bringing in for them financially, as well as, you know, chat interaction and just overall like interaction on social media, stuff like that. It'd be interesting for them to kind of create a metric centered in that space versus just that viewer count. Because I think they're missing out on promoting people that are super entertaining and are super like, that would be like their kind of golden people that they want on their platform for their big people, you know. I think they're missing out on a lot of that because they're focused on the 75 average.
Well, I think it's a lie. I'm not saying it's a lie, but I think they're being picky and specific with who they choose to be partnered. Because I actually talked to them at TwitchCon too, and if you're in the right esports team, you can have 5 views. So you'll be a partner. If you're a Twitch employee, partner, like stuff like that. And on top of that,
or esports team, the esports teams,
That's or an organization. That's what I asked her. I was like, hey, so what's you know, she's like, oh, there's no way you can get partner under 75 views. I was like, how about this person? Because I've been seeing people do it. And she's like, oh, well, they shouldn't have got partnered. I was like, well, they are. So she was like, a person I talked to TwitchCon was actually part of the partner team that used to go through application. She's like, well, that doesn't make sense. I was like, well, I've got a couple people here. And she's like, well, you know, I guess. And then she told me that. And I was like, all right, well, I mean, that's fair. But the people I have noticed get partner, like, because there's quite a few people that have applied, are either the ones that play, like I said, esports for like Fortnite and stuff like that, or a lot of just chatting streamers seem to get partner over other things. And I think they're trying to, in my opinion, they're trying to diversify Twitch from just being a gaming platform in order to let people know, hey, you can do anything here. So I think they're kind of trying to expand at the same time. And I think that 75 mark's just a way to weed people out and then just an easier way for them to be like, oh, sorry, you didn't quite do what we wanted now.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, it's weird, man. That's really weird.
I know. There's so many little things. It's just so objective, like, how they do it. To me, like, if you're going to put a criteria, that's really 75 average is hard to hit.
Yeah.
You're going to put it that high, just be like, here you go, man. Here's the emotes with better bitrate. But then again, that was with, you had the lurk communities, the Royale, and
yeah,
a couple of different people. Just, it just kind of was one of those ruined it for everybody things.
Yeah. And I'm sure they slowed it down because of that for sure. All right, we're going to move on to some like tips and tricks side of things. I like to kind of ask for some practical things that you think streamers like maybe starting out or streamers going like, you know, who are growing, but maybe even like a little bit smaller, maybe like 5 to 10 average, that kind of stuff. What are some like key things, some practical things, and we'll kind of move on to mindset a little bit, but, and we're pretty close to our time here. I try to keep them about an hour or so. But what are like 1 to 3 things practically that you think people should do starting out, or some good things that they should do, you know, when they're kind of smaller?
Well, I already brought up the like networking, social media thing. Yep, like absolutely. Just make them, just start somewhere. I mean, it's never a bad day to start it.
Yeah.
The other things are like invest in your channel. That first Twitch payout, don't forget about taxes. Take 30% of whatever it is, $30, just put to the side, savings for taxes. Invest that in your channel and don't be afraid to make goals for things like a microphone. To me, a microphone is way more important than a camera. I've watched people succeed with no camera, but I've never really watched many people succeed with no microphone. Like yeah, people come in here to listen to you and listen to that dynamic. And I think a big one that gets lost is lighting on streams, okay, as well. Because you'll stop in, they'll have the webcam, but literally you can't see them. Like yeah,
it's dark
at all. Yeah, and it's just, it gets overlooked. And I didn't realize it for a long time, but it really matters. And don't take the first sponsorship you get offered. Because, I think there are companies that, what's the word here? They basically take advantage of people who are
screw
new.
Over people is what you're trying to say.
Yeah. I don't want to say screw over because, like, you know, it is, but they know, they're like, you're new, you're excited, you just got affiliate. And they're like, hey, man, we're offering you this affiliation link for this much off. Sell our stuff. And I'm
they're
like,
they're all put this little, border on your overlay. It'll cover your face, but it's going to be great for your affiliate link. You know, you're like, what?
Oh, yeah, and you'll make about 5 cents a sale, but yeah, don't worry about that. And that's, yeah, just be careful of that. Cause like, I didn't realize that for a long time. And like, I've been a lot pickier with the company. That's why I got a lighting sponsorship. Cause I figured that's important.
I wanted to talk to you about that as well. We'll kind of leave a space for that, but keep going on this. Cause it's really good. But just remind me, cause I want to talk about a brand, like, brand sponsorships or just kind of working with brands, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. And like the Techni one, we can just get into that later whenever you want to. Cause that's like,
let's jump into it now. Let's just talk about
okay,
it.
Okay. Yeah. With the sponsorships, if you're going to get a sponsorship, make sure the first thing make sure it's something you believe in. Because to me, people can tell if you don't, like, if it's a product, you're like, oh, it's pretty cool. You know, it's all right.
Yeah.
You're like not trying it. And like, my buddy actually got me, he sent me a DX Racer chair, and this is the father of the daughter that got partnered that I was talking about earlier.
Okay, cool.
He sent me a DX Racer chair, and I was like, whoa, I've never had a gaming chair, and I sat, it was so comfortable, and I actually went to TwitchCon, and I got to sit in all of these TechniSport chairs, and I was like, they had all of them. I was like, dude, this company is amazing. I love the designs. I love the products. So I actually reached out to them, got affiliated with them, and the cool thing with them is, so I don't really make much on commission for them, but every so many products sold, they give me a free chair.
Oh, wow.
So what I did is I immediately was like, I actually purchased this myself. So that way you get close to that goal. First chair, just gave it away. And once I'm getting real close to the next chair, once we sell basically so many of their products, I'll be able to give away another chair and it'll just keep happening and hopefully get partnered with them. That way it can at least help people out with getting free chairs and desks and a better discount. Cause really, like, you sit here all day, the chair does make a difference. I didn't think it did at first. And I'm like, this is nice to sit here all day.
No, I'm close to that. Like getting a different one because I got like a cheap one, and the difference that it makes when you sit in somebody else's, who's like really nice chair, you're like, frick, dude, my back's gonna be jacked up. Dude.
It does. And it makes a big deal. And that's what's cool to me is like if you bought one, or anybody buys one and we get a little closer, then eventually I'm able to do a giveaway and it's like, give me your chair. It's just one of those I'm like able to give back to the community. Like I said, the commission's not big really on almost any of my affiliate stuff. The commission isn't big. I've just tried to get discounts on products that would actually help the streamer or help out their content. That's why the lighting one was big, because I actually allegedly I'm supposed to make like a small portion. I haven't seen any, like, when any people buy them, but I don't care because at least it's helping them.
Yeah.
because when I was looking for, I had to buy the Razer Kaio camera because it's dim in here, but I also have like a panel light I usually set up over there that is just charging right now, and it just makes the world of difference. Like, I'm sure you have like a key light or something on.
Yep, exactly.
Because when you're newer, you got your screen blaring brightness, it's flashing lights from the game, and you don't notice it till afterwards, and you're like, well, how do I fix this?
Yeah.
And you just need a constant light. So, pick something you believe in. Don't be afraid to reach out. Dude, I slide in DMs all day on Instagram, Twitter. If I apply for somewhere, I'm sliding into one of those DMs afterwards and being like, hey, love your products, tried them out, just going into it. And actually, like I said, I actually did a YouTube video on the sponsorships as well.
Cool. That's what I'll have to see that.
Yeah, the YouTube's pretty, it's pretty, mine's all over the place. You know, I do unboxing and stuff like that just because, again, it's content I just want to put out. Absolutely. And I enjoy doing. And I'm not going to be the person that's like, clickbait me, let's go. Perfect streaming tips. I'm like, it's just, if you want advice on a specific thing, go for it.
Yeah. I love that, man. I love it a lot. So you've talked a little bit about quality, right? Like, make sure your quality is there. It doesn't have to be like this. You don't have to go out and spend your life savings or your mom's life savings on it, but making sure there's some sort of quality there. When you think about
like a $50 mic.
Yeah.
Like, easy. Like, I know your mic's super expensive. Those are the really nice ones.
Yeah. What's funny is I had it before streaming. Yeah. I had it before streaming and cause I used to do like music and stuff. And so I had it before and I like got it. And cause now I like stream and I used to have a sales job and be like in a different space, like a whole, like financially and stuff. And so I like switched over to this mic recently and people were like, how did you afford that mic, Nick? I thought you were driving Lyft and doing streaming. I'm like, dude, I've had the mic. I had it for a while.
Dude, it's so funny when they ask that, like, where did you get this money from? Like, let me tell you something.
I went in a... No, just kidding. No. Yeah. It's funny. It's been great, but it's... quality is important. But like you said, you don't have to spend an arm and a leg. But is there... Like, when you talk about interacting with chat, how do you do that when nobody's there?
That's what I was actually said at the very start is just the big thing I do and why I'm kind of lucky is I've always been the kind of person where I will talk mad shit on myself when I play a game and I will talk mad shit on the game while I'm playing.
Yeah.
Like there's times I'm like, oh great, jumped off the cliff. What an idiot. What a loser. I'm so terrible. I'm the worst. Whatever. And I'll just go on to the next mission. And then there's times where I'm like, you're the worst enemy ever. This game's trash. And I was like,
yeah.
And I'll just like mess around and stuff like that. Or like, if you can bring up random topics and hope somebody jumps in. But that to me is the big thing is leave room for conversation if people want it. Cause I've had people hop in at random topics and when I don't expect it at all. But again, that's one of those. It's like I've had like the last stream was actually one of my quietest chats. No real reason for it. Just regular stream like usual. Just maybe one of those days people are a little busier. People are at work, things like that. Then I've had streams where I'm like random stream. And people talk the entire time. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, and that's what people need to understand, like, starting out, too, is it's going to be that. Like, it's going to be one day you'll have a crazy stream, and then one day it'll be slower, and you got to really, like, create that energy. And, yeah, man, I dig it. Mindset.
Yeah, because that's we got – the channel got – you know what Pestily is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we got raided by Pestily, actually, a couple months ago.
Oh, wow.
And it was awesome. And this is where I'm, like, the roller coaster thing and why – Your content will matter because we got like 250 follows. I probably saw a handful of them after that, which the raid was great and I loved it. I sure appreciate him for it so much.
Yeah.
And if he listens to it, I appreciate that.
I'm sure. Yeah.
At the same time, like, yeah, you can't. They're his followers. So they will. These are the people that will go back to that channel.
Yeah.
So you might make it. And that's the cool thing, though. I made an impression on a few people that continuously stopped by, have hung out in the stream since then. But it's not like you're going to grab the attention of every single one. If you get a raid and you even grab two new followers that might stop in a chat at one point in your life, that's to me, that's absolutely a success.
Yeah, I always say raids are good. All raids are good. Some are great. Some just you captivate the audience somehow and they keep coming back. And but most of the time, like people are waiting for a raid when they're first starting out. They're like, once I have that raid, I'm going to be good to go,
you would need that person. That's where I think they miss it. You would need that person to push you the entire, like they would have to be up your butt.
Yep.
For like 3 months straight.
Exactly.
Point, their community would be forced onto you and they would still, but that one raid is not even two, three raids. Yeah. Probably not going to help.
Yeah. I've had friends get raided by Tim, the Tap Man, or, like even hearing like raided by Pestily. And you play a lot of Tarkov, by the way.
I used to. Well, okay. Yeah, and that's Doom Eternal came out, so I'm pretty hooked on that. And then
I'm gonna say we gotta get some raids in if you do, because I love Tarkov.
Oh, dude, yeah. If you're looking for Tarkov, be able to play it with two. I know that's what's great. Know a ton of them.
Yeah.
It's just I got stuck. Warzone to me is one of it's a great BR, and I enjoy switching it up. So
yeah, we'll have to talk about that. Talk about it later. It'd be cool to find something to play together, man. Yeah. So on the mindset side of things, that's kind of one thing. Is there like, when you're about to go live, is there something that you're kind of telling yourself? You think about anything? Are you kind of that type of person that is big on like a mindset, or are you kind of just like, well, let's just go? And you're kind of a pretty positive person as you go throughout your day, or?
I just go take a shower. Actually, I always take a shower, typically brush my teeth. And, usually I'm scrambling to get, cause I do like a going live at this time. And I'm usually scrambling. And I did a start. That's what like a starting, I used to just go live. Like I have a starting soon screen now. But at the same time, he's just be like, all right, doing it, going live. And I'm like, all right, here we go. We're playing the game. What's up, everybody?
Just
going into it. Cause you know, at that point, you never know at what point during, and mentality wise, you don't know what point during your stream somebody new might pop in. So if you've been going for 8, 9, 10 hours, you're dead tired, you're not feeling good, you're not bringing that good energy.
Yeah.
And somebody pops in and they're like, oh, well, this guy's kind of dull. Then they're going to probably remember the content for that later on.
Yep.
So it's kind of like the flip side of, hey, I'm doing a 24-hour stream. But are you really helping yourself by the end of it?
It's like a restaurant, right? Like if you go to a restaurant once and then the food sucks and the service sucks, it'd be really hard for you to go back, you know?
even if you've been there 5 times and you have a bad experience, it really does. It makes a big, big difference.
Absolutely. Perfect. Well, hey, we've kind of like arrived towards the end of like what we're doing here. But I have a question on there that talks about like a quote that you want to be remembered by. It's a really like dramatic question, but I want to basically know like, what people like, if you couldn't stream anymore tomorrow, what would you want people to say like about your stream, and what would you want them to like?
If I'm not streaming and I'm off the internet, my mind is just, I've thought about it. Like, what if I just disappeared one day? Like, what would happen? Like, would anybody even reach out to me? Like, just gone. You could just disappear from this existence. So I was saying earlier, I really just don't know. I mean, just try to have as much fun with you as you can and just try to enjoy it and be flexible and always work towards improving your content. Like being flexible to me is the biggest thing. So when people just get stuck on that one thing and they're like, well, there's this worked and now it's not working, I'm like, change it up. What's the worst that happens? You're not going to lose the view at this point.
Yeah. I love it, man. Well, thank you so much for your time, dude. And especially like you accepting this and not really knowing me that well. I really, really appreciate it, dude.
Thanks for having me.
J-Mac was like, you got to have him on, man. J-Mac Smacks was like, dude, you got to have this guy on. He's really, really cool. So,
that's so nice of him.
It did not disappoint at all, man. I'm stoked to have you on. I appreciate it. Like I said, it's going to be on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and stuff like that. And I'll be putting that on tonight. So, and I put the video up on YouTube stuff too, but
Well, that's what kind of blows my mind too, is like, I don't feel like a large streamer or a real influence base sometimes, but then like stuff like this is just kind of throws me off when it's like, oh yeah, this person talked about you and they said these great things, so we want to talk. I'm like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing is like the people who aren't like believing that they are that a lot of times are. And I think the people who, are asked the most questions or don't beg for the attention are the people that I'm most interested in interviewing, for one, because there's a lot of people who like now, we've done quite a few of these interviews, and there's people now who contact me like, can I get interviewed? And a lot of times those aren't the people I want to interview.
Yeah.
The people I want to interview are the people who are just day in and day out doing what they need to do and who are passionate about what they're doing. And then we step in and we ask them the questions because hopefully, you know, it's like, you know, you want to work with busy people, you know, kind of a thing.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's kind of the mentality. So dude, I really do appreciate it. And I think you have a lot to give. So don't sell yourself short.
Thanks for having me. Cause I've been a little hesitant about podcast stuff pre this, but then like I said, but even though I can help out one person, actually reaches one person and makes them like keep streaming or improve their stream, then I feel like both of us, we've done a successful thing.
I agree, man. I agree. Well, thank you so much for your time, bro. Hopefully this isn't the last time we get to talk, man, because I'd love to figure out something together.
No, I'll be chilling around now, especially now that I can actually see you live, because that's what threw me off. I was like, man, some people, I'm like, why don't I see them live? And I don't know if Twitch is unfollowing, but I'm like, I swear I follow people.
That same thing happens to me too.
Sorry.
Or I go raid somebody and they're already offline, and then I'm like, frick these.
Oh, yeah, you always you gotta check. I think every streamer's done that. I used to do it all the time. Be like, we're raiding, then I get there. Oh, shit. See you guys. Too late now. Well, yeah, man, but on the technique topic too, if you're community members, because I'm going to do a giveaway here pretty soon, cool. Like I said, if we sell another chair or two.
Yeah.
But they also have red and black chairs in there. So if you ever need chairs, just let me know.
Oh, I will. No, for sure. No, now that I know you have that, for sure. Because it's not my budget right now to get a new one right now. Like, it, like really in the next couple months, it really isn't. But hopefully, I'm going to need one. I'm pretty coming up here soon. So. Yeah.
And they do periodic deals. And the nice thing I like about them, the thing I like about them is like you can stack my discount code on top of the sale. And I know a lot of sponsored companies are just like, nope, sorry about it. So.
Oh, by the way, yeah, before you go, actually, is there anything else like in terms of like stream time you want to plug, that kind of stuff? I know you make your schedule weekly and stuff.
No, it's all good on that. That's perfectly fine. Like I said, if people actually listen to this and want to find me, you know, it's cool. I do. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. It's basically Reaper of Hugs 42 everywhere. Besides YouTube, it's just Reaper of Hugs. That's what, make your stuff universal, guys. For love. If I'm trying to find you on Instagram, your name's Peter Pan 92 and you're Susie Knows a Lot 39 on Twitter, it's not going to work out well. I can't make it happen.
Yeah, I get tired. I'm like, I can't find your other one. I'm out.
Oh yeah.
Well, dude, thank you so much again. I appreciate it. This will be up tonight, so we'll see you, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, buddy. I'll catch you later.
All right, see ya. Wow, what a great interview. If you guys are on YouTube, make sure you guys subscribe. If you guys are on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, leave a thingy-ma-jig. And then also, if you're on Spotify, give it a follow. I think that's how it works. I think that's how all the things work. I did it. All righty, we'll see you later.